Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Reading today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Laura. Let's just take a moment to be still as we begin. Loving God, we recognize your presence with us. And we ask that you would open up our hearts, let them be like fertile ground for you to plant the seed of your word, so that love and faith and hope would grow in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, my name's Mark Powley. I'm a congregation member here, and I also have a day job with the Archbishop of York, helping churches across the north of England to do mission, that is to share their faith and to plant new churches. And I will not be here in church next week because I'll be trying to run my first ever marathon. Yeah, well, let's see how it goes, shall we? So in order to do the marathon, you need a phone, of course, because you can't do anything in life without a phone. And on the phone, you need your marathon playlist. Okay, so I have carefully put together my marathon playlist. And roughly, I think round about, as we're supposed to be, running out of Otley. Okay, so we go all the way up to Otley and then run out of Otley. That's the idea. I should be having Coldplay Up and Up. Which is highly appropriate, and partly because it's a beautiful song, and we'll be you know, seeing those incredible views around Otley, and there's this wonderful line in it. It says, "You can say it's mine, and clench your fist, or see each sunrise as a gift." Okay, see each sunrise as a gift. So if you are sort of happen to be around. Next week, round about the middle of the day, you might see me kind of clutching my leg and crying in pain, or you might see me kind of just jogging and being happy, like, I see each sunrise as a gift. It just depends how it goes, okay? We'll see. But they're such great words, to see each sunrise as a gift. But it does raise a question. Why? Why is each sunrise a gift? Who is the gift from? And what difference does it make to see a sunrise as a gift? How does it change my life if I'm going to go up and up? In what direction? What's that all for? And what I want to say this morning, and what I think comes through the Bible passage that we had read to us, is simply this. What Coldplay doesn't answer, Jesus does. And Jesus told us who the gift is from. He tells us who the gift is from, and he tells us what difference it makes. And that's just what I'd love for us to look at this morning. Who is the gift of the sunrise from? Who is the gift of creation from, and what difference does it make? Jesus said, and we had it read out, I'll just read the beginning, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life and what you eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable, much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" They're such powerful words. Such powerful words from Jesus. And yet it is natural for us to worry. It's natural for us to worry about what we'll eat or drink. Or if we're not worried about that, I bet you're worried about something else. And Jesus knew that. He knew that it's natural to worry. He was actually talking to people who were very poor. And so he knew that they would have all sorts of worries and concerns. And yet, he said, if you could see that everything is a gift from the Creator God, then that would change the way that you live. If you could see that everything is a gift from the Creator God, then it would change the way you live. And so here's the first thing that Jesus brings to us, this simple truth: the Creator God is our Father. The Creator God is our Heavenly Father. I just want to look at that with you for a few moments. How can I illustrate this? Well, let me illustrate this with reference to this famous person. This is Sir David Attenborough. So if we're talking about nature and creation, we have to mention David Attenborough. One TV critic said this: "Sir David is now a kind of living God guiding us around the natural world." And we're obviously, as a family, we love watching the David Attenborough nature programs. But then my daughter decided, she said, "This is so good, it's so important, I'm going to write to him." So she did. And she was over the moon when she received this. "Yes, in my hand I hold an actual letter from David Attenborough. Thank you very much indeed for your letter." "Thank you very much indeed for your letter. And extremely kind things that you say. I'm delighted that you think so highly of my programs. It was very good of you to have troubled to write and tell me so. Best wishes, David Attenborough." He hasn't said sir, actually. He's a humble guy. It's amazing to get a personal communication from the maker, the creator of nature documentaries. But what Jesus is talking about is so much more. So much more. He says the creator of the whole universe is your heavenly Father. And that is amazing. It's amazing. It is, as we'll see, both mysterious, more mysterious, and more wonderful. This is about living up close and personal with the creator of the world. As Jesus put it, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." It's your Father who's doing this. It's your Father who is feeding the birds. And that's what I want you to see. And when you see that, it will change the way that you live. Now, I said that it was more, it is like a letter from David Attenborough, but it is both more mysterious and more powerful. More mysterious and more powerful, because God is a heavenly Father. And that means something, okay? It means that being heavenly, it means we don't see God. And that's really important. We don't see God. Everything we have comes from God, and yet we don't see God because God is heavenly rather than an earthly Father. So yes, what the birds eat and what the flowers, what helps flowers to bloom is all a gift from God. Our food, our clothes, our bodies, our lives, it's all a gift of God. And yet God remains unseen. Paul is explaining about the Christian faith in the book of Acts, and he says this: God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Everything you have, says Paul, it's all this gift. Even the joy that you feel, it's a gift from God. Everything good in life, the clothes that we're wearing, the light that comes right now through these windows, it's all the gift of God given right now to you and to me. And yet we never see God. That's the difference between an earthly father and a heavenly father. I'm an earthly father. I can't give anything to my children without them knowing it's from me. Even when I'm supposed to give them things that they don't know it's from me, I fail. Okay, there are two occasions in the average year when this is supposed to happen, Christmas and Easter. Christmas is supposed to be secret presents. The number of times I've snapped into their room, shoved a present quite out of bed. Dad, is that you? Oh, doll. At Easter, just putting out little Easter bunny footprints around the house. Dad, did you do these? Yes. It is impossible for me to give my children a gift without them knowing it's from me, because I'm an earthly father. But it is possible for us to receive all these gifts from God and not to recognize him. That is possible. Because God gives in everything and through everything, we can say, well, the clothes came from a shop and the light came from the sun. And that's the end of it. It is possible, but we will be missing the meaning of everything in our lives, because it is a gift, a good gift from our Heavenly Father. In fact, it takes a gift to see it as a gift. It takes the gift of faith, which is a gift that God loves to give us more than any of the other of his gifts. We never understand the world at all until we understand it as a gift of God. And the very purpose of life itself is to receive all things as a gift, to come to know the giver, and to join God's giving life. That's the very purpose of life itself, to receive all things as a gift, to come to know God the giver, and to join God's giving life. So God is our heavenly Father. And let's just think about that second bit. God is our Father. How is it that we know the Creator God as a Father? Well, it's precisely because Jesus tells us. Because God, the Creator God, didn't just stay distant from us in heaven far away, but came close to us in Jesus Christ, reaching out to us, living alongside us, and teaching us that God is a heavenly Father, and then pouring out his life for us as a gift on the cross. So he showed us how valuable we are to God, that we're much more valuable than other things, and that he wants to be intimately connected with our lives. And just as he feeds the birds, so that he wants to feed us like a loving parent. And just as he clothes the grass, he wants to clothe us like a parent would clothe the child. God wants to be that closely involved in our lives because he's our Father. There's a beautiful quote from the German reforming Christian and from the 16th century, Martin Luther. He's talking about this, the passages around this and about prayer. And he says this, "A Christian heart is one that learns from the Word of God that everything we have is from God and nothing is from ourselves. In this way, praying teaches us to recognize who we are and who God is, and to learn what we need and where to look for it and find it. That is how genuine petitioners or prayers proceed. They know that what they have is a gift of God, and from their heart they say, 'Lord, I know that of myself I can neither produce nor preserve a piece of my daily bread, nor can I defend myself against any kind of need or misfortune. Therefore, I shall look to you for it and request it from you, since you command me this way and promise to give it to me. You who anticipate my every thought and sympathize with my every need.'" That's what it means to know God as our Heavenly Father. And if you're wondering, well, how do we get to experience this? How do we grow in this? Maybe you've never prayed to God that way, or you'd like to pray to God that way more. Well, Jesus, in the passage just after the one we had read, just says it's really simple. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. God wants to give you that gift of knowing him as a Father, and all we have to do is to ask, maybe once, but also to keep our heart open to God. And he will show us what it means to know him as Father. Well, I said that Jesus tells us who the gift of creation is from, but he also tells us the difference that it makes. So let me just mention that now. So what? What difference does it make to know the Creator God as our Heavenly Father? Let me illustrate that with a slightly different story. This week, I got to go down to London for something, and I love going on the tube in London and walking around. But because I want to get from A to B, I'm often in a bit of a rush going around the tube. So sometimes you have to walk around, and I'm there walking really quite fast. And then what you have to do is you have to watch out for the people who are walking because they've got a big suitcase and they're going really slowly. So you have to just go around the side and then walk really fast. Or there's like five of them sort of chatting in a row and you have to wait and then dodge through and then walk really fast. And I'm walking fast, but I'm speed walking, but I'm also speed reading. Because when you walk through the tunnels of the tube, there are all these big posters and adverts that you see. I love that because there are always new films. I love finding out new films. So as I'm speed walking, I'm sort of saying, "Look at the film. That's a film. It's good. Okay, that's really good. How was the film? Four stars. No, that's not enough. I want five stars. I want a five-star film. That's a musical. Ah, I can't get to musicals." As I'm doing this, as I'm diving through, I get to this other poster. Oh, I can't quite see the poster. I wonder what that poster, what's that poster? But it just said, "Slow down." I thought, oh, slow down. Yeah, it was like this. If I show you, they have a campaign now. If we have the next slide up, that just says, if we can find the next slide, it has a poster of, here we go. Just, why don't you just slow down? I thought, okay. God, what are you saying to me? Make it clear. And that's something that Jesus says here. He says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear?' For the pagans run after these things." They run after these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, that's how, Jesus says, that's how you have to live if you are really a pagan, because you don't know who the gods are or how many gods there might be or whether those gods are angry or kind. Or it all swaps around and the kind ones become angry and the angry ones become kind. You just don't know. And so if you don't know anything about the gods or what they're going to be like, then I guess you're going to have to look after things yourself, right? You're going to have to be anxious about what you have and what you're going to eat and how it's going to work out. And you're going to have to run around chasing these things if that's what you think. But then he says to his disciples, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to be running around speed walking or running or trying to jog or whatever else it is you're trying to do. You don't have to do that. Because your heavenly Father knows what you need. And you're so valuable to your heavenly Father. So you don't have to live like that. He doesn't say you're bad for worrying. That's not what he says. We all worry sometimes. Some of us more than others. That's the way that we're wired. But he says you don't need to worry. You don't need to have this anxiety driving your life along. You can live as one of God's beloved creatures alongside the other creatures in this amazing creation. Here's the thing about climate change, for instance, just to apply this here. It's really tragic. We don't know how climate change became so tragically bad, because there was a time, for instance, when we didn't even know about it. So we didn't know. And yet it was still happening. We were still causing it. And then after we didn't know, we did know, but we didn't know how to stop it. And then after we knew how to stop it, we now knew how to stop it, but we're so busy fighting with each other, we can't agree on how to stop it. So it's all a bit tragic, really. But what we can say is that some of it comes from our running, our constant desire to have more, do more, own more, burn more fossil fuels, and produce more waste. And somehow, especially if the rich nations of the world were more able to say, do you know what, we don't need. We know that that would make a difference to the atmospheric changes that are actually causing great suffering around the world. And increasingly in our own country. And so now we're returning to these words, 2,000 years old, where Jesus says, on a sermon on a mountain, he talks about who's going to inherit the earth. And he says, you don't always need to be running. But you can do something else instead. You can seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. He doesn't say you have to save the world. But he does say you should seek the kingdom. You should seek the kingdom. The kingdom meaning God's vision for the world, God's justice for the world, God's goodness for his creation. And we need to seek that. And I just want to finish with three practical ways that we might do that. Now, there are, of course, three practical ways to be involved in St. George's Church. Now, did I get these in the right order? Pray, serve, give. Okay? See, I'm right on message. I'm bang on message this morning. Okay? Because there's three ways to get involved with St. George's. You can pray, you can serve, you can give. But these are also, that's just practice for being involved in the kingdom of God and also being involved in God's purposes for creation. We can pray, we can serve, we can give. How can we seek the kingdom in our prayers? Well, Joanna explained last week the most amazing thing, that Jesus didn't just come into the world, but Jesus created the world. All things were created in him and for him. And Jesus, when he died, reconciled all things to himself. So when we pray, we don't just have to pray for kind of me or my things. We can pray with Jesus for the whole creation. In fact, we should pray that first. I mean, it doesn't really matter what order we pray things in, just to be crystal clear. God can live with that. But there is a discipline in praying that first. The writer Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, God's name, God's kingdom, God's will must be the primary object of Christian prayer. And if you noticed in the Lord's Prayer, it says, you know, our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, that is in creation. Your will be done. And then give us today our daily bread. So when we pray, Jesus is inviting us to see us as first of all, seek first the kingdom of God. So when he prays, he says, pray first for the kingdom of God to come in all creation, in all things, things on heaven, things in heaven, things on earth, all the things that God has made. First pray that big picture of God. And then, in the model he gives us, give us today our daily bread. And we might say, well, the thing is, God, the thing I need is a job. Or the thing I need is the right job. Or the thing I need is asylum. Or the thing I need is I've got exams coming up. And God knows what we need. And he knows how heavy that burden is on us. But he also knows what we really need. He knows what we need today. And he has a big picture, a big kingdom purpose for your life. And that's what he says to seek first. Seek first the big kingdom purpose for your life. And the other things, Jesus says, and the other things will be added to you. That God will make sure somehow that you have what you need. But first, seek God's kingdom. And in our prayers, maybe we could just pray that bigger picture first, including prayers for the whole of creation. Secondly, to serve. Is there anywhere that I could maybe do a bit less, run a bit slower, so that I could do more for the kingdom? Is there anywhere I could do a bit less so I could do more for the kingdom? I was doing some quick research on this. Apparently, we buy twice as many clothes as we did 20 years ago. Twice as many, but we wear them less. So is there anything else we can do to show more care in our clothing? Care for the world that God has made and the energy, the water, and the materials that takes. On average, many of us eat more meat than the world could supply for everyone. So, more than our fair share. So how could we show more care in our eating? And maybe some of us will have a lawn at home or garden or something. Well, we could cut it less. In the last century, we've lost as much as 97% of our flower-rich meadows. So we've just begun no-mow May, which may or may not relate to you. But it's just an idea. How can we show more care for the natural world around us? So pray and serve, and last of all, actually give. Yes, it's great to give to church. But Jesus said, do not store up treasures on earth. But trust God. We trust God with our money. And that might mean, as a nation, that we give to countries who've been damaged by climate change. And that's an important international policy. As the Church of England, we've set aside at least £30 million to move towards net zero and reduce our carbon emissions. Or it might be, as an individual, you could support a charity that helps care for the environment or to support those impacted by climate change. So pray, serve, give. How can we seek the kingdom in terms of our care of creation? Not because we're panicking, but because we're not worrying. Because the Creator God is our Heavenly Father, and this God has set us free to seek the kingdom first. Let me finish with that question. What does it mean for you to seek the kingdom first? What is holding you back from living day to day in the care and love of God, your Heavenly Father? And in the words of the song, rather than to say it's mine and clench your fist, to see each sunrise as a gift. God is reaching out to us this morning. He wants each one of us to know him as Father. And he wants to set us free from the heavy burden of our worries, so that day by day, with our actions as tiny signs of the kingdom, we can show his love to the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.